Venerable religious and dear parishioners, what does Holy Mother Church want us to think about on this first Sunday of the Passion, this ushering in of the last two very solemn weeks of Lent, actually called Passiontide, and next Sunday will be the most solemn of all, Holy Week? This is what the church wants us to think about today, that God is going to die for our sins. We have one of the most noble, inspiring, majestic statements of our Lord today. Before Abraham came to be, I am. Grammatically, that makes no sense. It makes no sense if a human being were speaking. He would have to say, before Abraham came to be, I was, or I have been. But today is a most unequivocal declaration, self-declaration of his divinity. Only God can say, I am he who is, or I am the great I am. Because with God, there is no time. There's no change in God. He never has a was or will be. It's an eternal now, an eternal am. And even that statement, God is going to die, sounds like a blatant contradiction. God can't die. He can't undergo change. But there's the mystery that God became man and he took on a human body and soul. And that human body and soul would be separated in the tortures of death. And he was, in fact, going to die, not in his divine nature, but in his human nature. And he's going to die the most horrible death possible under those circumstances of the time. He's going to undergo the death of the worst of criminals. He's going to die as a slave. He's going to be crucified on a garbage heap outside of Jerusalem. And we have to have the faith to look at that scourged and crucified body and bow down in adoration. This is a thought that we really can't tell ourselves enough, my dear brethren, throughout life. God became man for me. And not only that, God died for me in his human nature. We have to let that thought seep into us better and better. And the more it seeps into us like varnish penetrating into wood, the more transforming it will be in our lives. We can't just live a life for ourselves, certainly not a life of sin, when we realize that God was born for us and that he died for us. We can keep growing in that. There's no limit to how deeply aware we can be of that great doctrine, that great truth. Jesus is God, he is man, and he died for us to redeem us. He came to pay a price that we could never pay on our own. It is a challenge to our human intellect. Our human intellect doesn't quite understand. And that's because it's so far above our human intellect to realize that God can become man. The unchanging God can take on a changing human body and soul and still be one person. In today's gospel, our Lord speaks as man, but he also speaks as God. When he says, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Jesus is speaking from his human nature there. But when he says, before Abraham came to be, I am, he's speaking as God. There's a story here from the Catechist. Many, many good stories to illustrate the faith. Let me just read this one to you. It is related that a certain young man who was once present at Mass neglected to genuflect at the words, and the word was made flesh in the creed. Whereupon the devil appeared to him in a terrible form and thus addressed him, "Ungrateful wretch, dost thou not thank and adore the God who was made man for thee? Had he done for us, devils, what he has done for thee, we should be ever prostrate before him in adoration and love, and thou dost not even make a sign of thankfulness." So saying, he struck the young man with his club and left him like Heliodorus of old, half dead with pain and fear. So quite the object lesson. Be aware and be grateful of what God has done. In our own time, there's so much denial of the divinity of Christ. We see, and for example, in the movies of today, and there are some that I hope to research a little bit more and tell you why you should avoid them. Movies that pertain to the Bible that are retelling it as just a fable and denying that there is a God. The Noah movie, for example. Certainly, I haven't seen it, but I certainly have read unfavorable reviews of it. It's a watering down of faith. It's just retelling it as a human event. I'm not even sure about this movie, Son of God, which is a watering down of the divinity of Christ, not making it clear that he is God. We must bow before him in adoration. And then, of course, there are the evolutionists who deny that there's any creative activity on God's part. It's all explainable in terms of randomness. And they say that the word of God is a lie. And even this modern Vatican II Pope, Pope Francis, had the audacity to say some months ago in an interview, there is no Catholic God. Can you imagine a true vicar of Christ ever saying something like that? Isn't that a denial that the head of the Catholic Church is Jesus Christ, who is God? If Jesus isn't Catholic, then who is Catholic? Is there any Catholic Church? Yes, God has to be Catholic because he started the church. So we see, my dear brethren, denials on many sides. And what we need to do is to bow in adoration and love and gratitude before our God. Yes, he lived a poor and a despised life. He died on the cross, and we worship and adore him as our Lord and Savior. And we acknowledge that he gave us a church to belong to. And we also believe that he rose from the dead. We shall celebrate that in 2 weeks from today. What's the other thought that the church wants us to be aware of very much on this Passion Sunday, on the day that the statues are covered in purple? That other thought is, harden not your hearts. And the covering of the statues is an object lesson to us of how dismal it is when something is covered, when something is veiled, when something is hidden away. It's all part of the Passiontide experience for us. And how do we avoid hardness of heart? as those who keep on saying, he's not God, or I don't have duties to him, I don't have to really listen to him. Well, what happens is these people harden their hearts and they become more confirmed in their evil doing, and God withdraws. God withdraws. We don't ever want that to happen to us, where God withdraws from us because we keep saying no to him. Rather, we have to keep saying yes. So how shall we not harden our hearts? Well, there's a wonderful way to not harden our hearts, and that is through tears. We know what rain does to the ground. You know, if you have a drought, the ground becomes hard and baked and impenetrable. It's going on in some parts of our country, some parts of the world, terrible drought. And the way to keep our souls from ever getting hard like clay, like in that manner, is to cry. And cry over what? Cry over our sins. It's not necessary to literally cry, although that would be a great thing. But at least in our soul and in our mind, to tell Jesus, we offer him the tears of our contrition. We are so sorry for what our sins have done to him. If we can keep saying throughout our lives to Jesus, dear Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I truly abhor them. I overcome them. I'm sorry for them. And if I don't feel much sorrow, I want to feel more sorrow. That will soften our hearts. That will keep them open to the rain of God's grace, to God's love. So on this Passion Sunday, as we begin these last 2 weeks of Lent, let us say it with a great, I believe. I believe that thou art my Lord and my God. And Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I'll try to grow in my sorrow. And I will often tell thee that from my heart, Jesus, I'm sorry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.